Thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about maze and lodging. And in this session on abiotic stress, I'm actually an engineer, so you know, maybe you don't think about mechanical stresses when you talk about abiotic stresses, but when I hear the word stress, I think of mechanical stresses. So I'd like to tell you a story about engineers working together with plant biologists. And as I mentioned, I'm the engineer. I'm working with some folks at Monsanto. And a couple of years ago, as I became acquainted with a plant breeder at Monsanto, and we were discussing our research interests, he started to wonder, my area originally is biomechanics, he began to wonder if biomechanics and structural engineering could help to address the problem of stock lodging. And so I'll tell you a little bit about that process. So as you all know, stock lodging, especially if we're looking at focusing on late season stock lodging, you get failure of the stock between senescence and harvest, and that is often related to wind and storm events. This is usually measured in terms of rate, number of plants failed per plot, this lodging rate. But the lodging rate is very much confounded by the environment. So there have been a lot of studies in the past on how could we measure lodging or stock strength in some other ways. So there's the rind penetration studies, there's crushing studies, and bending studies that have been done with mixed results. Most of them show a little bit of benefit, but lodging is still a problem, especially as the yield continues to increase. Lodging is a problem. This is an engineering approach. And when I was presented with this problem, I asked the plant scientists if they had done what we engineers call a failure analysis. And they said, what do you mean? What is a failure analysis? So I'll tell you. You may have heard of the phrase forensic engineering. And this is the type of engineering analysis that's done to understand why something failed. So we've got the Titanic. There have been some interesting studies about why the Titanic sank. I mean, aside from the iceberg, right? Why, you know, why the metal in the ship behaved in the way it did. There was the shuttle explosion in the 1980s. We all probably have heard about. And then NASA, as if you've been reading the news, lost another rocket last week. So they'll be doing a failure analysis to find out why that happened. Now that's kind of one type of failure analysis, when you've got one strange event to try to figure out what happened. The other type of failure analysis is when you have a system that keeps failing. So GM, if you've been reading in the news, or if you have a GM vehicle, they issued 68 recalls affecting 30 million vehicles this year. And behind each one of those recalls was a team of engineers who found a problem and analyzed it, try to find out what went wrong with that part, and then design a replacement part. That's the kind of approach that we're using. So a failure analysis almost always starts with this investigation, an examination of the failed specimens, and that's where we started. So we took a team of engineers several times out into the field to look at what does a stock look like when it fails, what's actually happening. We found three types of failures. The first up here in the upper right is what we call the creasing failure. And it's just as if you take a straw and bend it. You get a crease across, and we get splitting here. You get splitting, and then in this one here we also see sometimes snapping. You can see this, there's also some disease here. So we cataloged those failures, and then we looked at what other types of measurements would we like to make. We made a long list of measurements we'd like to make. Some of the ones that turned out to be the most helpful are listed here. We categorized the type of failure, and if you hear me use the word mode of failure, we call these modes of failure. We also used the failure location with respect to the ground and the ear. We looked at where did this failure happen with respect to each internode section, so based on the physiology, where is it happening? And then we looked at failure direction. So if a stock fails on this side increasing, it'll go that way. If it snaps and goes this way, it broke here. And so as engineers, we can look at which way it fell, and we can look at each specimen and find out a little bit about what was going on. So our approach was to use an observational study to go out in the field and catalog these different types of failures. And since this has never been done before, we wanted to look at what kind of, in the big picture sense of things, what's going on here. We weren't interested in hybrid types. We were interested in big trends across all of corn. So we excluded diseased or damaged stocks because they can confound the data. And then we just sampled across hybrids, planting densities. We sampled in U.S. and South Africa, try to get a good, broad picture of what happens when corn stalks fail. And the results, as you see, are kind of interesting. The first thing we found, which is very surprising, was that almost all the failures happen to this creasing mode of failure. They bend over just like drinking straws. And 91%, and actually we don't have a particularly large sample because this involves taking engineers into the field and it's expensive. So we looked, you know, this is 256 failed specimens, but the confidence interval here is quite tight because it's a very strong effect. We see very few failing in snapping and splitting, and we actually suspect that a lot of these had some kind of disease or damage. The direction of failure was similarly very strong. Most stocks fall over in the direction of the minor axis. If you assume that the cross section is roughly elliptical, and that's because that's very closely related to the mode of failure, and the stock is stronger in one direction than the other. And finally, we looked at failure location with regard to physiology. This here is a CT, is an X-ray radiograph of a corn stalk. So you can see the node, the meristematic tissue here. And what we find is a very tight cluster, that the failure location with respect to the physiology is clustered around the node. So 89% of the failures happen right within a very small region of the node. And then a lot of these out here are those splitting and snapping failures. So this is quite surprising to us. We don't know that this has ever been shown before. And what's really exciting about it is that from an engineering perspective, a consistent type of failure is a good sign, because that means that perhaps there's a consistent solution that could affect all of corn. And so we think that's very positive. The worst case scenario is for us if we would have seen, you know, five different types of modes of failure evenly distributed, which would then say to us it depends on hybrid type, it depends on all kinds of features, and there's many types of failure going on, but we really just see one dominant pattern. So next I want to talk about, we then move in our failure analysis from finding out what's happening to try to understand why. So we started to look at what could cause failure, and it's failures caused by stresses. This is a numerical simulation of a beam in bending, and there's a small notch there, and as you see, the color represents stresses. Anytime you have a change in geometry or material properties within a structure, you get high stresses. So what we see when we look at the corn stalk is a shift in diameter right at the node. Has everyone seen this, right? It tapers down at each node. And that change in shape is what we as engineers would say the stress concentrator. And I'll show you several of these. Another types of stress concentrators is the surface of the tissue. In the internode, the tissue is very organized. It's very orderly. Cells are in nice, neat rows and smooth. That's good for strength. Near the node, where you have these brace root buds, and in the meristematic region, you have tissue that's much more disorganized, and you get these surface wrinkles. Surface wrinkles are very bad for stresses. Each one of these wrinkles causes a small stress concentration. And as you can see, that makes us believe that this tissue has something to do with the failure. We also have been doing high-resolution CT imaging, X-rays, and we are able to scan entire stalks, and so we scanned a set of 155 stalks at about 90 micron resolution. You get really nice geometric, 3D geometric data on the corn stalks, including individual vesicles, and you can see the meristematic region here with different tissue properties. These are lots of fun. We make videos and sit in our lab and watch these videos. They're very fun. But the data is actually quite detailed. So then we can make cross-sections of this data set. And we wrote some custom software that analyzes and collects lots of different geometric properties for those cross-sections, about 20 different properties that we can measure for each cross-section. And if I show you some of those, I'm just going to show you a few of those, but all of them go through dramatic changes as you go through the node. So here's again a cross-sectional view of the corn stalk. As you go through the nodes, which are indicated by the tick marks, you see that up here we've got rind thickness, so rind thickness spikes. The moment of inertia is a engineering quantity related to stiffness. It changes, total area changes, the diameter changes. Everything that we've measured so far goes through dramatic changes at the node. And as engineers, we know that when things change, stresses go up. And so, you know, our working hypothesis right now is that this is why we have failures happening near the node. So in summary, we did a broad sampling over many different types of corn. An observational study, we found a very strong pattern in terms of failure type, failure location, and failure direction. And that's, hopefully that says to us that we can find a common solution. And we identified some candidate stress concentrators that we think might contribute to that. And so there's more research that's going on. I'll give another talk tomorrow morning about some of the work we're doing looking into some of these factors. And I just want to end with a little pitch for my lab. I'm a mechanical engineer, and my specialty is in biomechanics. But since I got started on this project, I've thrown all the human biomechanics out the window, and I'm trying to focus entirely on plant biomechanics. And I see lots and lots of potential in this field for engineers and biologists to work together. And I'm trying really hard to try to learn, you know, all the agronomic issues and try to incorporate those correctly. This is the first talk I've given in this community, so I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me. And I'd just like to invite all of you, as you see our work, to support it. It's a little difficult as someone coming from the outside to try to find where do we publish this stuff. It doesn't quite fit in biomechanics journals. Sometimes the methods we use don't seem to quite fit in it. And they're not typical agronomic studies. So as you see our work, whether it's as a reviewer or we're always looking for collaborators if you're interested in working with us to support us, cite our papers, and so forth. Thank you.
I have one small query. So these diameter that you were, measuring, So how did you measure? Mechanically, manually, or scanner?
We use a scan data and we write customized code. The code goes through the data and measures all those things for us.
So you are pushing that whole stem through a machine and it is automatically?
So X-ray CT scanning is you put it in the scanner and it rotates it through 360 degrees. It's not a fast process. It's a slow process.
CT scan is doing that. Okay.
CT scan, yeah. So it's slow but very detailed. And the idea is use detailed data collection to refine where to look and then eventually go to more automated, more rapid measurement.
Yeah, you say you screen a lot of hybrids. Did you see any variations among the hybrids?
We don't have very many numbers per hybrid. We have more than 20 hybrids, and you say our sample size is only about 250. So some hybrids will only have one or two samples because we were walking in Monsanto pre-commercial fields, and so we would see from one hybrid two or three, and another hybrid maybe 10. So we don't have enough data yet to say let's sort this by hybrid. It just wasn't. It was something that we kind of ruled out from the beginning. We just want to look at corn.
When you was a failure in direction, did you measure career the wheel of wind direction?
We didn't have, we go at the end of the season, just before harvest. And so some stocks have been down for a few days, some have been down for a week. So we don't have. We don't know when they fail, typically.
Regions are always kind of a dog in the
wind. We measured. Okay, we don't have absolute direction. We have direction relative to the stock and relative to the rows in the field. We didn't do wind direction. I would expect as an engineer, it's not totally related to wind direction. If the wind direction blows on a stock, the stock has a strong direction and a weak direction, it will lean into the weak direction a little bit regardless of which way the wind blows. If you get an ovalized rod and you try this, you'll see that if you try to bend it, it wants to bend into the weaker direction. It's a funny mechanics.
But the wind is always the cause of.
Sure. But what I'm telling you is that the stock will adjust to the wind by bending in its weakest direction. A little bit regardless of the wind.
Yes, but probably there is a physiological reason of that produce this type of damage. the wind contributes to fell down the plant. But there is a physiological reason, probably related to the sourcing ratio of each hybrid.
Maybe.
You said 91% do fell due to the crease, that all happen in the same location on the plant. Do you find variation in?
I can show you that. We have variation with respect to the ground and with respect to the node number ordered from the ground up. And so you see they do fall closer to the ground. There's a mechanical reason for that, and that is that the closer you go to the ground, if you have a wind load, the harder it is to hold it up. So the stresses are lower, generally, higher, lower to the ground.
Was that in any way related to grain count? Like, I mean, I know they asked about hybrids, but did you look at, like, the amount of grain on the plant and the weight?
Oh, the weight of the ear. We haven't looked at weight of the ear, ear yet. They tend to be, you know, between plants, there's not a lot of variation. Our working theory, though, is that this is primarily a geometric issue, more than tissue or other things like wind.
Yeah.